This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, good morning. You're listening to The Morning Run, 8:48 right now. And earlier you heard Ibrahim speak to the minister in the Prime Minister's Department, YB Datuk Nancy Shukri. In fact, there was more to that conversation. That means you should download the podcast at our website, bfm.my, to listen to the full interview. Okay, guys, let's take a look at the business papers today. Now, follow up from the property developers, the proposal to allow property developers to offer up to 100% of loans to home buyers. That's been making headlines in the past few days. Of course, yesterday, the Minister of the Housing Ministry, Tan Sri Noor Omar, briefed the cabinet about this. The cabinet didn't throw that study out despite the public backlash. In fact, what they want is for the Housing Ministry to conduct a deeper study into the effectiveness of this proposal.
That's right. They said they want to fine-tune this. What does fine-tune mean? I think the government is asking the question of how this scheme can help raise home ownership among Malaysians, as well as so that some degree of consumer protection can be accorded to people who have, for some reason or another, been lured into such schemes, right? I want to avoid duping, leave no doubts.
Yeah,
do you think, Ibrahim, about them not saying a direct no to this?
I think it's sneaky for the cabinet not to say a direct no. I think it's important for the people to understand where the cabinet lies on this matter. I think there has to be clear communication by the cabinet whether or not they agree or disagree, because this is a signal by asking the minister, Tan Sri Noor, to actually fine-tune the program. It signals that the cabinet kind of agrees to this, except that there are details that needs to be worked out. That's how I would see it. And when I see it this way, I think a lot of clarity has to be given by the cabinet. And I think, it's a simple yes or no, and whether or not the government should take a stand on this.
Okay, so the Housing Developers Association is aware of all the backlash that this proposal has received. In fact, they've come out to address this. Here is Dato' F.D. Iskandar, president of REDA.
We are not a financial institution, let me reiterate that. But we need to assist first-time buyers and affordable home buyers. That is something, the bridging. Yeah, they come out. Let's say I give you, if you were to buy a house at 400,000 ringgit, if you were to get only 80% loan, that means you have to come out with 80,000, correct? On top of that, you have to come out with your MRTA, stamp duty, legal fees, blah, blah, blah. Another 20,000. So upon buying a 400,000 ringgit house, you are slapped with 100,000 ringgit upfront cost. Let's be realistic. How many people can afford that?
So that was the president of REDA, Datuk Sri F.D. Iskandar. He's saying that actually this proposal, this initiative, will help first-time home buyers, genuine people, house buyers, for the difference that in a bridging loan, for instance, so if they can't get a full loan from the bank.
Yeah, but he also said that they clarified that this should be for loans that are for homes below 500,000 ringgit. I think going on a limb to explain what this is all about, but at the end of the day, it's still between 12 and 18%, which is extremely expensive. I mean, we wouldn't think of using our credit card to buy a home, right? I mean, some people will. I mean, but if you can use your credit card to put on a down payment for a home, that's 18% a year. Would you do it? It's still extremely expensive.
So you're not against the fact that property developers can lend money, but it's just the amount that they're charging is far too high.
That's right. And I think that's one of the pushback on the foresight for this loan is that, hey, let the free market decide. But I think when we say that, we're ignoring the fact that consumer protection is one of the main tenets of the free market. And also, it doesn't really solve the affordability issue in Malaysia. Free market does not take care of the affordability issue in Malaysia.
12 to 18%, does this cover whatever risks property developers have to go through. The reason why they charge high interest rates, I'm guessing, is because they are not banks, so they need to kind of cover their own risks.
Yeah, and cover their own cost, because imagine this, property developers actually borrow from banks for their own developers, for their own development project. And when they borrow from the bank, they borrow at quite competitive rates, you know.
They can borrow from the bank, which would be very expensive for them. They need to make a margin out of that.
Yeah.
But also, they can use their own cash flow, and you need to assess that cash flow on an alternative use basis. Your business is to develop property, but if you were to divert some of the funds to for a money lending operation, you got to charge at least some profitability to that.
Which begs the question, right? So the amount of interest being charged aside, the fact that the cabinet is not dismissing this outright is also speaks volumes to just how important the government views the property sector. Now, there was also news that RERA had a survey that showed over half of the developers not launching projects in the second half of the year. Now, is this proposal, this initiative for property developers to offer loans, will that help the property developers in pushing out some of the projects that are currently empty?
I think so. I think it will help sell a few more houses here and there. But how dangerous it is for the home buyer, I think that is the main question that the government should ask. And the bigger question of how the government can solve affordability in this country, because there were hints from the same minister as well that a price control may be the answer. But I think that is a totally misplaced idea. Price controls have all over the world shown to have worsened the situation of shortage. Mm.
So that hint of that price control was coming out of a statement quoted by Freedom Malaysia today, saying that the minister says national housing policy is being reviewed to enable more people to buy homes and to intervene and bring down house prices. And this is something that a lot of people are saying is not a good idea.
How la? I mean, look at most of the houses launched in Selangor and KL over the past 12 months were priced between 500 to a million.
Yeah.
So how? How?
Exactly. I mean, looking at the other de facto price control that we have, the other story is, of course, Megasteel, right? And this relates also to this idea of economic rigging of our economic. I mean, the government intervenes to protect certain industry. Megasteel was accorded a kind of monopoly for something called hot rolled coil, and this is a tongue twister, HRC. they were against the importation of cheaper products. And finally, they had to close down because they found themselves deeply uncompetitive because of insufficient price controls that are accorded by the government. Is this good or bad for us? I mean, the closing down of some of these inefficient companies.
My argument is that it would be good for us because, as you know, hot roll coils is actually the raw product for the cold rolled coils.
Say
like
that
CRC.
Fast five times. Hot roll coils, cold roll coils.
Yes, and
you'll
because,
end up with some anti-dumping
because
rules.
Megasteel is the monopoly holder of the sole producer of the HRC. All the other steel manufacturers and steel millers, they have to use Megasteel's raw material, and they are emboldened to Megasteel's prices, right, for the HRC when they want to develop the CRC. If this is taken away, this monopolistic figure is taken away, then the CRC manufacturers can actually source for cheaper HRC materials from overseas or elsewhere, for that matter. And one of the big, juggernaut in this sense is China. Mm. In fact, China has been accused of aggressive dumping of China's steel products at below market price. That remains to be debated because there's a lot of reasons why China is supplying at low market price.
Well, Miti made the decision not to investigate further on that.
Yeah. So whatever it is, right? So since Miti has so the investigation that we're talking about is a safeguard petition on imported HRC, which was petitioned by Lion Corp through Megasteel, and Miti says no go on that one.
Actually, I believe that they haven't quite said no. There's a petition that's going on, and Miti is expected to announce its decision by the end of the month. So they're likely to decide on these safeguard measures soon. But, you know, all in all, right, yesterday we saw massive gains, top gainers, in fact, on Bursa Malaysia, or the steel counters. You got Malewa, Hiap Tech, Southern Steel, Leader Steel, all the top gainers for Bursa. I guess it's not just about the hot roll coils and the cold roll coils.
You said that very nicely.
Thank you. I had to practice. But it's also about the improvement in the price of steel. Now, it's gone up in the past year. You know, the commodity price has gone up. There was a slight recovery in the demand from China. All these factors combined creates Captain Planet.
Captain who?
Sorry, that was a 90s reference. Did no one get that?
Okay. Yes, I did.
Anyway. Well, when all these factors combined, there was a recovery in interest for steel stocks.
I think overall, we really need to move away from a kind of corporate welfare or encouragement of corporate gangsterism to a kind of consumer protection, and social welfare.
So the key argument that I want to impress upon you guys is that I'm not about the pricing. I'm about the monopolistic angle here. So when you take away that monopolistic angle, you allow for market prices to come into play. That's beneficial for everyone, from the suppliers, from the consumers. And in this sense, I think the investors do see this as an uptick, and perhaps that's the reason why some of these players, Malewa, Hyaptek, Southern Steel, is picking up in the market.
Okay, well, also in Singapore, we've got Marco Polo Marine, which is a company that provides barges and tugboats for offshore oil and gas and commodities companies. Well, they say that they need to delay some $50 million Sing dollars in payment on its bonds. Now, they're going to have to go and ask their bondholders for permission first. So whether or not the bondholders will give the green light is a whole other question.
Yeah, this is the kind of market-driven activity that we would like to see more because during the days when oil prices were very good, all these companies, together with the oil and gas ecosystem, started putting a lot of investments into that sector. And now that oil prices have crashed, you are beginning to see the fallout. So no bailouts here. Companies that didn't do well has to force to change or go or just shut down, right? And we're seeing it in Swiber, we're seeing it in Hanjin, and now Marco Polo is asking for some concessions, not from the government, but from bondholders, which is fine. If the bondholders decide that according to what suits them, want to give them some concession on delaying their payments, then so be it, as long as it doesn't result in some kind of corporate welfare.
Okay, it's coming up to the opening numbers from Bursa Malaysia after in the 9 o'clock news bulletin. And after that, we'll take a look at those steel counters we talked about, whether they are also gaining again today. Now, if you're about to leave your car to go up to your office, you can rejoin our conversation on your phone through the BFM iPhone and Android app. We'll catch up with you there. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.